Wisdom. Wisdom. This is a great passage from 1 Kings, where as the person who is to lead this growing and great nation that David had really established and placed on the map, Solomon turns to the Lord, who had asked him in a dream, "What do you want from me?" And he asked for wisdom to discern the will of God for his people, so he could be a good leader. I know when, not quite 3 years ago, the district superintendent called up and said, "I've got a situation. I've got somebody leaving a church in the middle of the year, and I need someone to fill in for 5 months." And he told me about St. Matthew's that I had known about for quite a long time, since I went to school here at Methodist College and knew several of the pastors who served here. That was an exciting challenge, because I knew that this church was in a neighborhood that I suspected had done quite a bit of changing in the last 25 years. There was an opportunity for great ministry. I knew that there were good people here because my wife had taught down the street for 20 years and taught some of your children and knew of this church and community, so I was excited about that possibility. And as I said yes and was appointed to come here by the bishop and met you, I got excited about the potential that was before us. But in about June of that first year, the Lord said, "Slow down. You got some good ideas, but you've got to listen to me instead of going with what you think would be good." And that really hasn't been the easiest thing in the world for me through the years. Maybe you have that same challenge in your life sometimes. You get enthused about something and you come up with ideas and maybe don't spend a lot of time in prayer checking out whether this is what God wants. You know, it's a good thing. It looks good. It sounds good. It would be a good thing as far as we humans can see. But is that what God wishes for us or our life or our project at that particular time? Now, Solomon understood his father was a great man. It was going to be hard to measure up. So he prayed for wisdom to discern the will of God for his people. And in June of that first year, I realized that's what I needed to do. We don't talk about wisdom a lot in the life of the church. We talk a lot about knowledge. Do you know this about God, about Christ, about Scripture? But we don't talk a lot about wisdom. I think somehow in our society we think that maybe that requires a great and advanced education. And yet, what God taught me serving little country churches while I was attending seminary was that there were a lot of people who were not highly educated, but they were very wise. Wise in a worldly sense, and also wise in a scriptural sense. My son and I were talking recently about the fact that he's always been the kind of kid, because this goes back to the time when he was in high school, that he was always reaching a hand out and lifting up some other person. You know, introducing them to the church, trying to help them guide their lives, make better decisions, do better in school. And I think those of you who are parents can understand Jane and my desire is we always kind of wanted John to reach up to somebody that was ahead of him intellectually and spiritually and kind of give him a boost. You know, we want the best for our children. And recently we were talking about how he's lived that from the time he was about 16 or so, and now he's 27, 28. I don't have time to sit down and figure that out. But we had a discussion about that. And he's at a point in his life where he recognizes that he's reached out to others and made a difference in their lives. But he's realized that, you know, you just can't keep doing that unless something is filling your life on the other end. You can't keep giving this way unless you're receiving from this direction. And he was talking about searching for someone, you know, other than Dad, to guide him spiritually. And I told him, son, you've got to stop visiting churches and make a commitment somewhere. Because God has placed in every church, the smallest little church that only has a dozen people, to the church of 5,000, God places there people who have spiritual wisdom. And it's not always the minister. But you've got to go and get involved in more than just coming to worship to discover those people who can be a spiritual mentor to you and help you move to a different level in your faith. You see, that's wisdom. Now, ultimately, we seek that from God. But you know, it helps to have a few flesh and blood people around who can help you along that path as well. But if we don't get involved in the life of the church, so we meet some of those people who truly have a spiritual wisdom that can nurture and nourish us, it's difficult to move forward just on our own. You know, I thought about several titles for this sermon today. You know, from knowledge to wisdom. But my second choice was a little long to fit on that line. And that would have probably have been from knowledge through understanding to wisdom. Because in reality, knowledge is the content. God's Word is a book of knowledge. Our libraries are filled with books of knowledge. We now have e-books that we can get and download into PDAs, and we can get books on tape and CDs. But that's the content. And there's some good content out there, and there's some lousy content out there. But we have a book of knowledge that's the best content we could possibly want for our lives. Well, now, understanding is the process we use to extract this great knowledge from God's Word or any other source, that we must delve into it. We must grapple with the Scripture or the material before us. We must struggle with it sometimes if you're not particularly fond of going to school and having stacks of books of knowledge placed on your desk or in your arms. But wisdom is the goal. And I'm afraid we live in a society that says it's okay to just deal with knowledge and understanding. But if it doesn't help us to become wise, to translate that knowledge and understanding in something that's practical and useful for everyday life, we've missed the point. I remember years ago sharing with a PhD psychologist in one of the programs in which I was involved, who taught at Carolina. And he was talking about that it was harder to get into a program for a doctorate in psychology than it was to get in med school. That there were just limited numbers they could accept, and the school had a tendency to just go with the people who had the highest grades and the best transcripts. And this professor, who said, "I'm glad I came along when it wasn't as popular because I didn't have the highest grades or the best transcripts." And he said, "You know something? I'm not sure they're the people that make the best psychologists, because they're so in to knowledge and understanding and have not spent enough time living life and applying that understanding that I'm not sure that they make the best psychologists and counselors." That really a more average person might be better suited for this task. They might have to work harder to accomplish the academic requirements. But for the end result, they need to know about everyday living. And sometimes your geniuses and your brainiacs sometimes aren't real grounded in the real world. I've heard some people say that people like that are you know, just fly so high that you just can't anchor them to earth. He was talking about wisdom. You don't have to have an advanced degree. You don't have to have a wonderful transcript. You don't even have to finish school, although I encourage everyone to finish high school and get as much education as you can. But to apply that to everyday living is wisdom. Solomon knew that he was going to have to make a lot of everyday decisions that influenced thousands, maybe millions of people. God has called us as Christians to be wise. To be wise people. This is what Paul is talking about in Ephesians. That we're called to be wise. That we need to talk more about being wise people in the life of the church. And our greatest resource of knowledge is this book, Holy Scripture. How can we be the church of Jesus Christ, living victoriously, making a difference in this world, unless we're in to the word, the knowledge of God revealed to us in this book? Daily. And it's a tough discipline. And sometimes things come up and you get all stirred up and you might miss a day occasionally. But you have that commitment to be in the Word, because this is the source of the most important information in the world, the most important information in your life, because it's more important than just this life. It's important for all time and eternity. And when we do that, we're attempting to live as wise people. Proverbs 2:6 and following speaks to us, "For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk blamelessly, guarding the paths of justice and preserving the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Prudence will watch over you, and understanding will guard you. You see, it's pulling all of those three dimensions together, the knowledge, the understanding, and the wisdom, and life will be more rich and full. If you don't have but 10 minutes a day, spend it in the Word of God and see if He does not bless you. Now, one of the curses of our world and our society is people think you have to have some training to really go into Scripture. Because our world has emphasized Scripture from an informational point of view. And you have to have all of this background to really gain the wisdom of God. But something we've been learning the last year in our spiritual formation groups is that there's another way to approach Scripture. And it's much less threatening than the traditional study type of Scripture. It's trusting that this is a living Word. That's what God said it is. It's alive. It's a living thing, even though it's contained in a book, and yet it's not contained in this book. This book just points to something bigger and better. And that's formational reading of Scripture. Maybe you read one verse. Just one verse. But before you read that verse, you say, God, I need you to speak to me. I need you to speak to my life. And you start reading and you stop at one verse. Because you hear God speaking to you. You ask Him and He's responded through His Holy Spirit. And you say, Lord, what are you saying to me in this verse? And then you just open yourself to a God who wants to speak to you, just as He spoke to Solomon, just as He spoke to St. Paul, just as He spoke to His Son, and has spoken to millions down through the ages. We don't have to have a degree. We don't have to have all kind of studies and courses and biblical interpretation. But what we must have is a willingness to go to the Word of God on a regular basis and say, God, speak to me. I want to hear your Word for my life. I need it. The other possibility for my sermon this morning was wise and foolish Christians. That's pretty simple. If we're not in the Word, we're being foolish Christians. If all we know about the Word is what we hear a preacher or a Sunday school teacher say, we're in bad shape. Because it hadn't become personal. And we're foolish. Instead of wise Christians. For wisdom goes beyond the content of the knowledge. It goes beyond the actual understanding of the words. It takes us on a journey to live life every day. I want to share something with you that was inspired by something I read recently, and I got inspired and took it and expanded on it. Something we pray every week, the Lord's Prayer. And I want to talk to you more than just the knowledge that's in the Lord's Prayer or the understanding of the words. I want to move beyond to the wisdom of praying the Lord's Prayer. I am a wise Christian when I cannot pray our, if my faith is only for me and has no room for others and their needs. I am a wise Christian when I cannot pray Father if I do not demonstrate this relationship in my daily living as I relate to Him and all of His children. I am a wise Christian when I cannot pray, Who art in heaven, if all of my interest and pursuits are about earthly things and little time is spent on the things from above. I am a wise Christian when I cannot pray, Hallowed be thy name, if I am not striving with God's help to be as holy as God is holy. I am a wise Christian when I cannot pray, Thy kingdom come, if I am not willing to accept God's rule and lordship in my life. I am a wise Christian when I cannot pray, Thy will be done, if I am not willing or am resentful of having His will guide my life. I am a wise Christian when I cannot pray on earth as it is in heaven, unless I am truly ready to give myself to God's service here and now and to help make this world more like His kingdom above. I am a wise Christian when I cannot pray, Give us this day our daily bread, without spending some honest energy towards that effort, or if I withhold from my neighbor a portion of my daily bread. I am a wise Christian when I cannot pray, Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespassed against us. If I continue to harbor a grudge against anyone or cannot let go of past hurts or offenses. I am a wise Christian when I cannot pray, Lead us not into temptation. If I deliberately choose to remain in a situation where I am likely to be tempted and repeat my sins day after day. I am a wise Christian when I cannot pray, Deliver us from evil, if I am not prepared to fight evil with my life and my prayers. I am a wise Christian when I cannot pray, Thine is the power and the glory, if I am constantly seeking power and glory for myself. I am a wise Christian when I cannot pray forever and ever, if I am so serious about each day's affairs that I do not live into His plan for the future. And I am a wise Christian when I cannot pray Amen. Unless I can honestly say, cost what it may, this is my prayer. Wisdom. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And I suspect we don't fear Him. We're so wrapped up in His love that we don't fear what it would be like without Him. I don't know about you, but I had a healthy fear of my mom when she got angry when I did something wrong. I had a healthy fear of my grandmother when she went out to the switch tree. And I suspect some of you grew up, you know, part of your life with your mom and dad was some healthy fear. Scripture says, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. knowing that the Lord has power over our eternal lives, and how I take his knowledge and my understanding and put it into action every day is my call to be a wise Christian. Are you a wise Christian this morning, or a foolish Christian? Are you feeding on the Word? Or are you just trusting that things are going to be okay? Let us pray. Gracious Father, sometimes we treat your knowledge with disrespect because we don't seek it more often than we do. We don't worry too much about understanding it because, gee, if I understand it, I've probably got to put forth some effort. And sadly, a lot of times we don't even think about being wise as Christians and what that would do to our marriages, what that would do for our family life, what that would do to strengthen our church, community, and nation. What a difference that might make on a global scale if we were truly wise Christians. You have called us to be wise. You have given us your Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth. May we respond to that gift in Jesus' name. Amen.